Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges. September 11th, 2009, the Norris Group hosted I Survived Real Estate 2009. In this critical final quarter, the Norris Group assembled a Gold Star panel of accomplished industry specialists to discuss the impact of seismic economic shifts, head-scratching regulations, challenging legislation, and the accelerated pace of opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds for this unique event supported the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for the Cure. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the Business Press, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshops and President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronsgeist, Invest Club for Women, Fry Wiles, the creative agency responsible for the website iSurvive2009.com, JK Short Sale, Entrust California and Hugh Broma, the Nixon Library, NVT Productions, the National Flip and Fix Network, and White House Catering. Visit iSurvive2009.com for information.
Our next speaker is Tommy Williams. Tommy has over 40 years' experience in real estate auctions, land development, and real estate investments. He currently serves as the immediate past president of the National Auctioneers Association, a founding partner of Williams & Williams Auctions. He served as president for that organization from 1986 to 2000. He's conducted over 10,000 auctions in all 48 of the contiguous United States and Canada, and is an advisor to auctions conducted throughout the entire world. And he auctioned off a few of my homes back east. So, Tommy, I feel like I've gotten to know him really as a friend. Tommy Williams.
Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It's certainly a privilege and a pleasure to be back with you again this year. I think, number one, we can say when we read that sign, we all survived. That is the most important thing of all. We have survived. Give yourself an applause for that. Certainly, I think when you hear the different presentations that you've heard today, you're going to find that there's obviously a great diverse set of opinions. Not that one pad is right or wrong, but certainly they're very diverse. I would have to say that I line up very closely with Chris. And I'll give you a couple of things that I'm going to kind of give you as a backdrop before Bruce said he would like to have solutions. And I'll certainly give you what I think are some very simple solutions to what we have in particularly the real estate industry. But as a backdrop to that, we have two kinds of economic systems that really flourish in the world. We have the China system, which is totally, completely government controlled. The individual operates under the government direction. All business operates under the government direction and interference. And we have exactly the opposite. We did have the opposite of that. Thank you very much. I thought probably in this audience that would play well, but it happened to be the very core of what I am about. In the United States, I think this nation has risen to the place that it is, because it has always placed the individual number one. It has always placed private industry and private business number one without government interference. Do remember, I'm on a time limit, so you have to let... I'm not like Obama. I don't need your applause, really. When we get all done. But let me get to this point, because it's very, very critical. In my opinion, when you take the free enterprise system that we have flourished under in the United States, and then you begin to overreact into that system with government, you have the very worst. You have the perfect storm. And I think that is exactly where we are today in America, and I think that is really where we are in real estate. And I think the reason we are there in real estate is because real estate has had more government influence than any other sector of our economy by the government. Do you realize that every stock market and every stock that sells in the world sells on an open auction each and every day? throughout the world, ladies and gentlemen, an open auction each and every day. If you want to know what the price of Berkshire Hathaway is right this minute, it's what it closed at this afternoon. And that closing was dictated by an open auction. If you think you know positively what that's going to be a year from today, be sure and come and see me immediately after we're done. I want that information. On the other hand, you're probably like the rest of us. You could speculate on what it's going to be tomorrow. You could speculate on what the future holds. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we are going to really, truly get real estate back on the sound footing that it has to be, we have to get the real estate market to finally reach the base that the consumer, the real buyer, says it is worth without any government influence of any kind or impediments to that. The more the government keeps us from getting to that point, the bigger the disaster that we're going to have. Am I completely out of time? But it didn't have the little note up. But here's the bottom line. Whenever there are two ways that real estate comes onto the market, one of them is when that particular piece of real estate, whether it's residential or commercial, is going to become a liability to that owner tomorrow morning because they no longer need it. There's all kinds of reasons for that. There can be health reasons. You could have been transferred. You could have a different change in your economic situation. The reasons are endless. And I assure you that when David Kittle gets up here, he will tell you there isn't any banker in America that wants to own real estate. That is not their business. So whenever that real estate goes into that particular trough, needs to go to auction as soon as it possibly can by the most professional auction companies that we have in America to do that. And we have hundreds of those companies scattered throughout this nation. And those companies need to be assisted by the people that Pat represents, the realtors, and they need to walk hand in hand down the street with the realtors working over on the buyer's side of the ledger, doing everything they can to help the buyer be well educated, be well prepared to come to that auction, help them get assistance in getting a loan. All of the things that a realtor could bring to that buyer that they might need, and that realtor will be paid, of course, by representing the buyer. And remember, that's an adversarial situation. Because the auction company that is wanting to sell the property, I will promise you, wants to sell it for the most that they possibly can. And the person doing the buying, if you're doing it as you should be wanting to buy it as cheap as you can. There's nothing wrong with that. That's free enterprise flourishing exactly as it should. Exactly as it should. And I maintain that, yes, there will be some very, very serious times to work through. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. It is not easy. I'm with Chris. If you think it's easy, you're in the world of make-believe. It is not easy. But I can tell you this, that the minute that we sell those four homes that are in your neighborhood that right now are empty and the grass is a foot tall, and we put new families into those homes tomorrow morning, paying taxes, taking care of those homes, raising the property values of your home because they're no longer dilapidated homes right as your neighbor, the minute we do that, then we will have hit the bottom, as we all want to talk about, and we can start going upward like you could in any other capitalistic system. And that is the only way it'll work. That is the only way it'll work. Now, on the other side of that equation, there are people, such as maybe this gentleman right here, that he would like to sell his home that he now lives in. He would like to have $150,000 for it. If he could get $150,000 for it, he would move to the other side of town and buy a home for $250,000. You remember I said if. I have met people such as that all my life, and they're still in the $150,000 home 10 years later because it never sold for $150,000. So that person is very comfortable in that situation of staying right where he is, asking his price that he wants, and going to stick right with that price, or not doing anything at all. But that's not what can happen on the New York Stock Exchange, is it? Tomorrow, Chrysler will fluctuate based on what Chrysler is worth. Unfortunately, right now, the government is wanting to interfere with what Chrysler is worth. And at the end of the day, I don't know whether Chrysler, General Motors, I don't have any idea how they're going to prosper. But here is what, when you're as old and gray as I am, let me tell you what I do know. I was told time and time again that if TWA closed down, we would not be able to fly very many places in America. It would be the end of airline travel as we all know it to be. And TWA went into bankruptcy about three different times, but finally it literally closed down completely. And there's probably some young people in here that wouldn't even know what TWA is. But let me tell you what came out of that. Southwest Airlines, JetBlue, and a variety of other airline carriers sprang up, and the airline industry is better today than it has ever been. So if you will let capitalism flourish, ladies and gentlemen, I will promise you it will dig us out of this real estate recession we're in, and it'll do it based on fair market value. Fair market value determined at what these properties will bring, and I must tell you this. Unless you let these real estate auction professionals sell these properties at absolute auction without any hokey-pokey of any kind, unless you let them sell the properties the way the marketplace says they are valued, then you're once again, it's like making me run a race with only one leg. And ladies and gentlemen, as an auctioneer, I have ran that race for a long time. Once again, it's been a pleasure to be with you. I always enjoy visiting with you. Thank you.
You know, I believe whatever that man would be selling, I would have to have a piece of it. Our next speaker is Joseph Magziarez. He has designations as an appraiser of MAI SRA and is the 2009 vice president of the Appraisal Institute and will become president of the Appraisal Institute in 2011. He's been an active member of the Appraisal Institute for 38 years, serving in a variety of capacities at all levels of the organization. He resides in Rockford, Illinois, with his wife, Sandra, 41 years, and his bulldog, Bella. And I think you're probably the hot topic of the day. We welcome Joseph.
Well, as you'll notice, I'm the only one that wore a vest up here. It's Kevlar, okay? I really want to thank Bruce and Aaron for setting this up, the gold and platinum members. And especially you have Southern California Appraisal Institute members over here. They're one of your sponsors, one of our group. And so nice to come out here and see some friends. And it's a pleasure for me to be here tonight. We're the largest professional appraisal group in the world, 26,000 members and growing. Last year, we were the only group that had 3,900 new members, which is larger than some of the smaller associations. And a reason for that might be a flight to quality when things are bad. Now, even though things are okay, we have things going on in the market today that you're going to, you're well aware of. I want to share something with you. I am really happy to be here tonight. April 13th, I had bypass surgery, had five bypasses, and I'm feeling good, so I'm really happy to be here tonight. I also may hold a record for being one of the oldest officers of the Appraisal Institute, and I take pride in that. Market conditions today, difficult to figure out. These are the time when we have complex issues going on, and when we have a complex market, you need the best experts. And you're not getting that most of the time. And the reason you're not getting it is appraisal management companies that want reports back in 2 hours or 4 hours or in a day, and they want to pay the lowest price. So our best appraisers are not working for you. Many are starting to leave the industry. That's a shame, because most appraisers are like me, small businessmen. When people ask me, how do you get into appraising? I said, it helps if you have the DNA, because it's a father-son-daughter thing that goes on. And so we have to remember that. Going along with that, the home valuation code of conduct, I think everyone's probably unhappy with that. They say, we should have a moratorium, we should have this, we should have that. Well, guess what? That agreement between Fannie, Freddie, and Cuomo expires in July of next year. A moratorium's not going to help anything. The bankers that have decided to go to management companies, allow them to hire people that may or may not be competent, are going to stay there whether you have HVCC or not. So it's not going to do a lot if there's a moratorium. So at the Institute, that's a short-term possible solution, but we need long-term solutions. Appraisal management companies, now there are good ones and bad ones, but there's about 10 large ones in the whole country. And what I hear tonight is they're broadcasting out for people to do an appraisal to many people who says they can get it back most quickly and at a low price gets that assignment. And so people are going out of the area, coming into your market area where they don't have a clue what's driving that market and giving you appraisals that are harming consumers. Not only that, but it harms everyone in the industry. This is a national problem, and the Appraisal Institute developed a best practice and also a model legislation law. We have that passed in 10 states. Your governor has the bill passed by your House and Senate to sign a bill that's going to regulate appraisal management companies on a state-by-state basis. Now, they're upset with that. They're upset with us. And they look to us for sympathy. We said, well, you can find that in the dictionary somewhere. Because they don't like it that they might have to be licensed in every state they have to do business in. I said, just like a broker and just like an appraiser, huh? Well, if that happens, maybe they'll start looking for people of quality to do these assignments. People with local expertise. They take a large piece of the pie or the fee. Consumers are paying higher prices for junk work. That's wrong. We can talk about home builders being upset, realtors being upset, appraisers are upset. But we cannot win this war until everyone stands. It's the consumer who's getting hurt. Make it a consumer issue, we can get things changed. Nobody cares how much the appraiser gets paid or if the realtor gets a sale or the mortgage banker gets a deal. But we should care about the consumer because that's where we need to be. So complex appraisal assignments, one of the problems we heard about today, distressed sales is comparables. Well, within this definition of market value, it says you need a willing buyer and seller. You don't have that when you have a distressed sale. Certainly a homeowner wasn't really willing, they might have been willing to give the keys back, they couldn't pay for it, but they're certainly under some sort of pressure, losing probably one of the most high-priced assets they've ever had in their life, destroying families, destroying traditions. You may have to use distressed sales if that's all you have in the market, but they don't meet the definition of market value. If you were to use those, you'd have to make significant upward adjustments because the motivation wasn't there to get a highest price. The motivation was to get rid of this asset. So you have to analyze it, just not ignore that. And I can't speak enough about competency. We went on the appraisal subcommittee. That's the group that has oversight of all appraisers and FIREA and all these strange rules and laws and state regulators. And we found out people that were not a member of our group were 7 to 20 times more likely to have complaints filed against them than Appraisal Institute members. Doesn't mean we don't have some stinkers in our group, because we do. And I'll tell you this. I, one of the few Republicans, got elected to office last November. And twice. I got elected as the Chicago chapter president with about 1,500 members, and then also as the national vice president. And I said, I have a different vision for appraisers, and that's to get everyone competent, including people of my age, my era, that got a designation 20, 30, 40 years ago, have never been tested on education since that point. I also went to our executive committee in August, and I said, you know what? We hear about people using these sales. We hear about people not being geographically competent where they're going. We need to issue a mandate to our members and tell them we're going to strictly enforce our ethics, and we need to give them a warning that we will put in there. We put in a website you can go to. We put in an 800 number. If you have an Appraisal Institute member doing an appraisal for a property you have and they're not from your area, call us or send us an email. We'll investigate that, and we will take action. We also had that published in media, and we're very serious about that. And not just our members, any appraiser that comes from outside an area needs to be reported. Now, they may be competent, but chances are they're probably not. Unless those being affected will turn those people in, we cannot enforce. We're hearing the same thing, Department of Justice and from FDIC. They're saying we're getting some appraisals in, they're not so good. And we said, well, and you guys aren't enforcing. And I said, well, wait a minute. Have you filed any complaints? Have you let us know who we need to look at? And they said, no, we really don't like to do that. Well, then shame on you. Look, I'm from the Chicago area. We know how to take care of people there, right? Your kneecap? So we're not going to worry too much about that. Well, we support the original intent of the Home Valuation Code of Conduct to take pressure off appraisers, because many appraisers, especially younger people coming into business, would be influenced to push for higher values, or we're told if you don't raise your value up to this point, you'll be taking off our list. Several people told me, and I said, well, I shouldn't be on your list anyhow. I have ethics, and you don't. Well, we got appraisal independence, conflicts of interest are down, and potential long-term positive effects, but we had some bad side things that went on. And so we unintended consequences, appraisal quality. Management companies are just not doing that. We've been out talking to some of them. They come and talk to us now because they're nervous. Because when Congress wants to know about what's going on with this, they're calling the National Association of Realtors, the Home Builders, and the Appraisal Institute. And I'll tell you, I was in Washington, D.C. In February or March, we had a Collateral Matters Congress out there. We had the congressional people there, and our president, Jim Ameren, spoke before Congress. And they asked our president, said, Mr. Ameren, where were you when all this was happening? And he said, I was here 3 years ago telling you about this, and you've done nothing. Congress investigated the whole meltdown. 22 major reasons. Appraisal is not anywhere in that document. I'm not going to say there weren't some inflated values, but this crisis is not about appraisals. Not what put us here. What put us here was greed in the marketplace and mortgage-backed securities, unregulated because Congress said what? Get the money out, get the money out, make everyone happy. So that happened. Well, the economics of owning a small appraisal firm is down. People are leaving. We're not happy with that. Local relationships and expertise. A lot of our members had long-standing relationships with lenders, and they could do business with them, and they could talk to each other when they had problems. They weren't being influenced to do bad things. And so we want to make sure that we go back and do that. Unregulated beyond state registration. Right now they register with the state, but they don't have to have a license to do anything. Illinois, Bill, if our governor signs that, we had a new governor. Of course, we get one every couple of years. But Illinois has the best retirement plan for governors. You know, when they're done, we let them make license plates. So, you keep your cash outflow down, you know. But, I mean, who's going to trust a guy like Blagojevich, you know, but got to do like Donald Trump? Something's wrong there. Well, appraisal-related fraud is starting to increase again. Fannie Mae fraud reports, 2008 originations. Fraud was too easy. The greed of market participants, lack of oversight, spotty appraisal regulation. There was a low barrier to entry. Only January 1st of 2008 did the Appraisal Foundation bring the qualifications necessary to practice up to a beginner's level.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com. The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2009, 1M1 Properties, Appraisal Institute of Southern California, Awesome Limousines, Community Reinvest Group, Del Mey Properties, Elite Auctions, FarBelowMarket.com, the Inland Empire Investors Forum, Las Brisas Escrow, Los Angeles Meeting and Event Center, Mike Cantu, the Mortgage Equity Group, National Association of Real Estate Investors, North San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine, Realty Track, Saddleback Valley Communities, San Jose Real Estate Investor Association, Stars Photography, Tony Alvarez, and the Women's Council of Realtors Inland Valley Chapter.